Now we come to another grand design of Satan, and that is to turn the saints' attention away from the Word of God. And how often this is very successful, and we don't really realize what is accomplished when Satan wins using this tactic. Now, I know, and you know, and the devil knows, that he's not going to stop us from buying Bibles. Every Christian has a Bible. Just about every Christian in America, anyway, has a Bible. Maybe two or three of them. A lot of Christians have many versions or translations of the Bible today. And then again, Satan knows he's not going to stop a lot of Christians from reading the Bible. They'll do that too. He also knows that there will be those that are going to listen to sermons and again be exposed to the Word of God. This will happen from time to time, and he knows he can't stop that. But he also knows that any time a Christian hears the Word of God, there is a real danger that that Word of God will convict and will transform that individual. Because the only thing that I have going for me is the power of the Word of God. It's as powerful as a two-edged sword, the Bible says. As sharp as a two-edged sword. You see, I can't convince anybody of anything. That's not my job. But the Word of God has such a power built into it that it can convince people itself. And a man will yield himself and surrender himself to the truth of the Word of God. So it's important that we have the Word of God because it is a source of changing people. The Word of God can also, in the Christian now, really have a bearing on his conscience. You can take the Word of God and talk to a man that's not saved and he won't bother him. But if a man is a true child of God, I'm thoroughly convinced that the Word of God can melt his heart. It's the really out that we have when we try to reprove a Christian because, generally speaking, he cannot withstand the Word of God because he has a heart that has a conscience that is in cahoots, if you want to use that word, in favor of what the Word of God has to say. In other words, the conscience is God's friend in the new man. So whenever the Word of God is heard or read, there is a possibility of a real change taking place in a man's life. Now, Satan knows the power of the Word. So, if he cannot get you, that is, if he cannot stop you from exposing your mind to the Word of God, which I think, if you stop and think about it, accounts for one of the reasons why you don't have a lot of folks at church. This never dawns on the Christian that doesn't go, but it sure dawns on God, on the mind of Satan. If I can keep the Christian from exposing himself to the Word of God, I have a great advantage of controlling that Christian, says the devil. And that's true. So, where do you likely going to have your mind exposed to the Word of God? In church. And especially a gospel church that does preach the Bible. We also find this is one of the reasons why when somebody is switching the radio dial and they hit a religious station, that they won't listen to it. There's just something that begins to tell the Christian, you don't want to listen to that. One sermon a week's enough, man. Turn me somewhere else. And you know, we get that feeling. It's also one of the reasons that you can give why a lot of Christians hardly ever read the Bible. If they do, they read it as though it's a race to hurry and get through. So they can at least say, well, I read the Bible today. I don't know about you. Maybe this just is unique with me. But down through the years, there's been something that takes place when I try to read a religious book that always seems strange to me. Now, as a preacher, you would think that I would want to read the Bible. And that's what I would think too. But I've noticed now, as I read a religious book, and the author puts in that writing of his a religious quote, and instead of just giving the reference for you to look up, he goes ahead and writes out the verse. Whenever I come to a verse that's written out, something over the years whispers to me, you know it. You don't need to read it. Skip on down and see what the author has to say. That's what is more important than what the Bible has to say. I don't know whether it ever happens to you or not, but it always comes to my mind. And I thought, that's strange. Why is it that I would rather read the word of a man than the word of God? And it still happens to me whenever I read the religious book. But finally it dawned on me, this thought must be coming from Satan. It has to be. And I could think of no other reason for it. Now, if Satan can't stop you from exposing your mind to the Word of God, the next best thing is to remove the Word of God that you expose your mind to. That is, remove it from your mind. And so that brings us down now to our eighth strategy. Here it is. Snatch the Word of God from the believer's memory so he will not remember it once he hears it. It's a very simple strategy. And brother, how it works. Jesus pointed out this strategy in Matthew 13, verse 4 and 19. So if you have your Bible, real quickly now, Matthew 13, verse 4 and verse 19. Jesus here is telling the parable of the sower. And verse 4 he says, "And when the sower has sowed his seed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." Or is the fowls or the birds swooped down and ate the seeds that had been sown. Now in verse 19, Jesus explains the meaning of the parable. When one hears the word, then comes the wicked one, that is the devil, and he catches away the seed which has been sown in the heart. So Jesus reveals to us that this is one of the tactics of Satan. For you see, once the word has been removed from your memory, then it is no longer any threat to Satan. None whatsoever. Because the word that is removed will be forgotten. And the word that is forgotten can never be utilized. It can have no effect upon you. If you can't remember the scripture, then it can have no power over you. As a result of that, you will forever remain unchanged. All hope that God has for our life rests upon our being able to remember the Word of God. And yet have you found that nothing is as easy to remember as the Word of God? You know, a Christian can hear a dirty joke and it's hard to ever forget it. But they can hear the Word of God, and it's hard to ever remember it. I find that very peculiar. I don't understand why I can remember things that are bad and not remember things that are good. But to show you how successful Satan is at this, and you don't even know it, how many Bible verses do you think that your mind has been exposed to in the last year? Now, I'm going to go up just a year. How many of you think it is? Now, if you read your Bible every day, and if you go to church, I guess I at least use it 2,000 scriptures in a year. And you probably read another 2,000 or 3,000. That's 5,000 or 6,000 or 7,000 verses that you have exposed your mind to. Now, let me ask you a simple question. Out of 4,000 or 5,000 exposures, how many have you remembered? 5? 2? 1? What scriptures did I use this morning? Can you think of one? You realize with me that Satan takes away every reference to the Word of God you ever hear, and the Christian just goes along day in and day out, year in, year out, never realizing he has never learned the Word of God. Is Satan successful? I guarantee he is. He is very successful. The very verses we read this morning have done been wiped out, washed away, and totally forgotten. And if I was to offer you $1,000 tonight for each verse I read this morning, I don't think I'd lose $1,000. Why? Because Satan has removed from our mind that scripture verse and has taken the Word of God away from us. Now, the battle cry of Satan in this instance is forget it, forget it, forget it. And you know, we forget it just like that. And nothing frustrates the plans of God for your life like you're forgetting the Word of God. Have you ever had a dealing with somebody and you tell them something really important to do and they don't do it and then they say, I forgot. And that make you very happy. You know, let us say you're supposed to be picked up by your wife and you stay on the street corner and you stand there 1 hour and 2 hours and 3 hours and all she says is, I forgot. Or you talk to somebody and they say, would you say that again? I didn't get it. You know, you tell them again, what did you say? Now, this is really frustrating. And this is a dilemma, you see, that Satan puts God in. He tells his children the same thing year after year after year. People say, well, I've heard that sermon before. But the point is, you didn't learn it the first time. So it's a repeat. And no matter how many times you repeat, chances are you may not ever learn the verse if Satan succeeds in this technique. Now, in Hebrews 5:11, you don't have to look this up, but you can write it down. Hebrews 5:11 says the basic problem is that the Christian is dull of hearing. By that it simply means is he's absent-minded, or he doesn't pay attention, or he doesn't have any real intention in remembering the Word when his mind is exposed to it. That's one thing I've never learned to do that I need to do in being introduced to people. I've never yet told myself to pay attention to the name and remember it. And so therefore, I don't. And that's the problem we face as Christians. We're dull of hearing. We don't have any intention of learning the Word. Now, the Bible gives the Christian clear instruction in Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you richly. And 2 Peter 1:2, be established in the truth. Now, if Satan succeeds in this tactic, he gains a tremendous advantage over the Christian, guaranteeing our defeat and frustration for all of God's plans for your life. In a real sense, you become a hopeless case. You become a hopeless child if you allow Satan to take the Word of God out of your mind and your memory every time you hear it. Now, what does Satan hope to gain? Now, here's where I'm going to have trouble because of speed. I don't have enough time. I could use about 2 hours now. But what does Satan hope to gain by this tactic? Let me quickly tell you. The first thing he wants to accomplish is this. It's a sure way to block the saint's life from being cleansed of sin. Guaranteed that you'll never grow in grace. It's a guarantee that you'll never be sanctified. It's a guarantee that you'll never bear fruit for Christ. It's a guarantee that you'll be a bad advertisement for the abundant life. And it's a guarantee that you'll never be free of the bondage of the old carnal flesh. In a real sense, you'll never change. And yet, when God says He gave us the new birth, the whole purpose was to mold us into the image of Jesus Christ. The great hope that we have is that we shall be like Jesus. But that's absolutely impossible if we do not remember the Word of God. And so Satan therefore stops all spiritual growth just simply by removing from our memory the Word of God. It's just that simple. If a person can stop a child from learning anything in school and remembering it, that child will stay in that grade forevermore. Forevermore. Now, Satan can ensure a crop failure just simply by removing the Word of God from your mind. A crop failure. Now, real quickly, if we can do it quickly, Psalms 119, verse 9. How is a young man going to be cleansed of his wrong way? Or how shall a young man cleanse his way? Very simple. By taking heed according to the Word of God. There is no hope to change anybody if they will not take to heart and remember and apply the Word of God. You can just forget it. The only hope I have for filling church pews is to get the people to remember the Word of God and apply it to their life. It's the only hope I have. Your husband, your wife, your children have things that disappoint you and frustrate you and upset you. The only hope you have of change is for them, as this verse says, is to take heed unto the Word of God. And they'll never do it if they don't remember it. Look at verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. There is no hope to keep a Christian from wallowing in sin until you first of all can get him to hide the Word of God in his heart. He can't even remember what is right and wrong. Look at John 15:3. Now you're clean, said Jesus. How? Through the Word. Through the Word. Now Christ tells you how a man's life is to be transformed. Look at John 17:17. Jesus is praying to the Father and he says, sanctify my people. How? Through the truth. Through the Word, which is the truth. The only way we'll ever grow in grace is to remember and apply the Word of God. Satan knows this. And so therefore he removes the only way whereby we can grow. The remembrance of the Word. And then 1 Peter 2:2. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. All right. The second thing Satan accomplishes is, it's a sure way to block the saint from ever learning the path that God wants him to walk. In other words, he can't decide between what's right and wrong, between good and evil, between what's wise and what's foolish. He can't make right decisions because he doesn't have anything to base those decisions on. It's all guesswork. Well, I hope I'm doing the right thing. And God says the problem is you don't know the Word of God that can apply to your situation. Thus we become useless servants. We don't know what God wants us to do, and then we don't know how God wants us to do it. Look at Psalms 119 again, 105. Psalms 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Man, there's so many things the Bible can advise us on. I said time and again, how to love your wife, how to love your husband, how to love your children. All the things that are important to us in having guidance, how to have a friend, how to be a friend. But you have to know the Word of God. Or you just play a guessing game like everybody else. The Word becomes a lamp to our feet, showing us where to go and where not to go, what to do and what not to do. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is the good thing and what is the acceptable thing and what is the right thing and what is the will of God. And you'll only do that if you have the Word of God to go by. The third thing Satan accomplishes is it's a sure way to block fellowship between God and his child. And that really thrills the devil. What is it that God wants most from us? The Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart. How do you love God? You just say, I love you, God. Now that's what a person that doesn't know the Word would say. How do you love God? Look at John 14:23 and 24. I don't think many folks love God. I don't believe God receives very much love. And that should cause us to have great disappointment in the Christian people. John 14, 23 and 24. Jesus said, if a man loves me, he'll do what? He'll say so? Now he says, he will keep my commandments, and my Father will love him, and we will both come to him, and we'll make our abode with him. We'll have fellowship together. He that loveth me not, he does not keep my sayings. And so if I am to love God, I must know the Word. I must know His laws, His commandments. And as I do them, it's a showing love. But if I don't know the will of God, if I can't remember what God wants me to do, then I won't do it. And if I don't do it, I don't love God. You see, to God, love is the sacrifice that we make in keeping His commandments. That's love. God, I love you because I'm going to do this thing you've asked, even though it's a sacrifice for me to do it. But you have to know what to do. You have to know the commands of God. And so Satan stops God from being loved just simply by taking away the commands of God from your heart. Just that simple. Fourth thing Satan accomplishes is that it's a sure way to block the saints' answers to prayer. That takes away all of God's help for you. Just very simple. Did you know that God will treat your word just like you treat His word? Did you ever think about that? Look at John 15:7 while you're there. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will, and then it shall be done for you. If my word abides in you, I'll pay attention to the words you speak to me. So all Satan has to do to get your prayer life shot is just make you forget the Word of God. And that's all she wrote. Because you see, we have to pray in the will of God to get the answers of God. If you don't know the will of God, how are you going to pray in the will of God? The fifth thing Satan accomplishes is, it's a sure way to destroy a Christian's faith in God. Romans 10:17, without our faith cometh by hearing, and what? Hearing by the Word of God. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. So Satan very simply destroys our faith. And if he can destroy your faith, you'll lose heart. And as we said this morning, you'll grow faint and you'll give up. You'll not walk by faith if you don't know the Word of God. Sixthly, what does Satan accomplish? It's a sure way that he can have success when he tempts you. In Ephesians 6:11-17, notice that one real quickly. Ephesians 6:11-17. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 17, the latter part of the verse, and take the sword to fight the devil with now. Take the sword of the Spirit. What is it? It's the Word of God. The only thing that you can use in battle with Satan to make him leave you alone is the Word of God. What did Jesus do? He said, it is written. And he then gave the Word of God to Satan's temptation. And the Bible says Satan left him alone. That's the only way you'll ever win the battle with Satan is say, it is written. But you have to know what the Word says, for you can tell the devil. You can't say, well, Satan, here's what I think. That won't cut it. That won't work. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. 1 John 2:14. 1 John 2:14. Notice what he says, I have written this letter unto you young men, because the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the devil. How? The word of God. The only hope you ever have when you are tempted is to know the word of God to apply against that temptation and to tell Satan it is written, and I'm going to do what's written. So you might as well go and leave me alone. And he will. But that's the only way he'll do it. And lastly, the seven things Satan accomplishes is, it's a sure way to get a man to forget God. I mean, forget him. Satan doesn't even want you thinking about God. Tomorrow I want you to, if you think about it, don't forget to now. you just try and sit down. How often you think about God tomorrow? See if you can go through the whole day and never think about Him. You know how that's possible? You forget the Word of God. The only knowledge we have of God is His Word. The more of the Word of God that you have and know and can recall, the more you're going to think about God. So if Satan can remove from your mind the Word of God, you won't think about God. Look, if you will, at Deuteronomy 8:11. Deuteronomy 8:11, our last verse. Beware that you forget not the Lord your God. How? By not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which He has commanded you this day. All that's necessary to make a man forget God is to make a man forget God's Word. Then there's nothing you can think about, because everything you're going to think about pertaining to God has to be part of God's Word. Now, the Christian who forgets everything he hears, I guess never will amount to anything, will it? It never will. Satan knows that. And today he's really guaranteeing the Lord a crop failure. And all he has to do is just erase from your mind the Word of God. And he's won the whole battle. And you know he's quite successful at it. Father, we're thankful tonight that we have the privilege of owning the Word of God, where we can go to it and refresh our memory time and time again. May we understand the importance of remembering the Word of God, especially the commandments that give our life direction and purpose and enable us to love God. May we make it a point as we hear the Word of God to remember those things that would give our life the direction it ought to take. They would encourage us to be the kind of person that God designs for us to be. That would ensure that God have fruit rather than a crop failure. That we grow in grace rather than stagnate on the vine. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.